Welcome to No Compromise Radio, a ministry coming to you from Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. No Compromise Radio is a program dedicated to the ongoing proclamation of Jesus Christ, based on the theme in Galatians 2 verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said, "But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." In short, if you like smooth, watered-down words to make you simply feel good, this show isn't for you. By purpose, we are first biblical, but we can also be controversial. Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes as we're called by the divine trumpet to summon the troops for the honor and glory of her King. Here's our host, Pastor Mike Abendroth.
Welcome to No Compromise Radio Ministry. Mike Abendroth here. It is Friday, I think, December 15th in real time. NoCo time, this is probably next week. I was on PresbyCast this week, and so I was glad for that, and Stand Up for the Truth. I'm usually on that show, Stand Up for Truth, once a month with Mike LeMay. Mike's been on the show before. And if you need me to be on your radio show to do an interview, just call my agent, Scott Boris. Hey, I normally drink Pete's coffee while I'm doing the show. Most of you know that. People used to send me Pete's coffee, but then we had to put it through the scanner to see if it was arsenic laden. But I brought from New Zealand, on the recommendation of my friend Donald Stevenson, some Jed's Coffee Company bean bags, subtitled Making the Perfect Cup. Jed's Coffee Co., just great coffee, bean bags. And I've had the equivalent of Folgers, but this is 20 times better. This is actually a really good cup of coffee. And so it looks like a tea bag, a large tea bag. This happens to be the darkest roast. They have strength, smooth, medium, strong, very strong, and number 5, extra strong. And so I got that one. And add boiling water to the bean bag. You know, when I think of bean bags, I think of things I set in, or my kids used to set in. And actually, my dog sleeps in a beanbag now. Kind of curls up in the beanbag. NoCo mascot. She's getting quite old. Lyme disease, limping around. Jack Russells burn themselves out, and then what do? Lay around the house. Anyway, I also was having some French press coffee when I was in New Zealand, and it's called plunger coffee there. We don't call that plunger coffee here. Anyway, you just let this thing brew. It says the path to coffee perfection starts with the clever shape of the bean bag, which lets the fresh brew, a coffee brew like it does in a plunger. There you have it. See? New Zealand roasted. Roasted and packed in New Zealand from imported coffee beans by Jed's Coffee, Auckland, New Zealand. There you have it. Enjoyed my time there. Hope I get to go back. Jedscoffee.co.nz. Jed's Coffee. So there's my promo. I'm hoping they're going to send me a lot of free stuff. They probably will send me as much free stuff as Pete's Coffee has sent me. When I first started the show, I would go to Pete's Coffee and say, "Oh yeah, I talk about your coffee all the time on my radio show," hoping they would like give me a free coffee. Not one free coffee. Not one single free coffee for all this ad time. If you want to write me, info@nocompromiseradio.com. I'm trying to do as many live shows or up-to-date shows as possible, at least 3 to 4 a week. I'm running a little behind because of my schedule. I went to New York City this week and was there for 2 days. A blood test for the follow-up with the radiation seeds for my prostate cancer. Blood test MRI. And the doctor's appointment. So the MRI looks really, really great. And he said no cancer seen in the MRI. So in 1 year, I will go back and have another MRI. In 18 months, I think I have to have a biopsy. Ouch, I'm going to have them put me under. I've already had 16 of those. And then, no joke, and then I think every 3 months I'll have a blood test. So if you have been praying for me, thank you. This will be a little bit different Christmas. Last year, My kids were flying home, or at least one of my son was flying home. And I had to sit down and tell them, Dad has cancer. I don't think I'm going to die from this, but I've got it, and we've got to do X, Y, and Z. That was a tough one. I read Psalm 103. We cried. My voice quivered a little bit, and we worked through it. And I've really seen the hand of God in my life, in my family's life, through this and in this. And just earlier today, thanking God for what he's done through it. Didn't really want it, but I also now have a ministry to cancer patients, especially men who have prostate cancer. If you're a man, 1 in 7, you're probably going to get it. So if you'd like to call me or email me or have a shoulder to cry on or talk to, work through some of the different options for you medically, I would love to help. Anyway, this year, my kids are flying home. Maddie is a freshman at the Master's University, and my son Luke is a senior. They're flying home together today and should probably be getting on a plane soon. And so this time, I mean, I've already told them on the phone, but we get to sit down and read Psalm 103 together and have, I'm going to sneeze, tears, excuse me, of joy. This Jed's coffee. So anyway, to live, to die another day, right? But we realize that Psalm 90 is true, along with, you know, of course, every other psalm. But we just see it fleshed out in such a vivid way when it comes to life and death. I believe this is the only psalm in the Psalter that Moses wrote. And it's Psalm 90, from everlasting to everlasting, is the title of the psalm that the people have given it. At least the ESV Study Bible has. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Just a quick side note on Psalm 90, the prayer of Moses, the man of God. When you read 2 Timothy chapter 3 about all scriptures God breathed, inspired, the NAS would say, breathe out is the real Greek word, God breathed out. It's given for lots of different reasons. Then in the next verse it says, so that the man of God might be equipped, right? Man of God. Well, doesn't it help ladies? Well, of course it helps ladies. That principle is true. The Word of God is powerful in both the lives of Jews and Gentiles and free and slave and male and female. That is absolutely true. But the pastoral epistle, 2 Timothy chapter 3, is talking to pastors, elders, as S. Lewis Johnson sometimes would call Timothy, a legate. And here is another great illustration of that. The prophet Moses, the prayer of Moses, the man of God, the spokesperson for God. Now, you could argue with me that it's Aaron was really the spokesperson, but I would take you back to Deuteronomy 18. Matter of fact, before I read some more of Psalm 90, I was going to talk about something else today, but we're already sidetracked, so off we go. Sometimes I just show up and do radio and see what I say. I've been having a variety of different guests on and have some more great guests lined up, and they tell me what I'm going to ask them, or they ask me what I'm going to ask them, and I don't really know. I have a day job, so I usually just use this showtime to take a break, review my things for Sunday sermon. The Lord your God, Yahweh, will raise up for you a prophet. This is Deuteronomy 18:15. Moses is writing. A prophet like me from among you, from your brothers, it is to him you shall listen. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And for fun, we're going to read the ESV Study Bible's notes. God promises a line of prophets who will speak to Israel on his behalf. Moses speaks of himself as a prophet, the instrument of God's, or communicating God's word to Israel. Nations listen to magicians, etc. Israel is to listen to God's prophet rather than pagan means of revelation and guidance. On the voice of the Lord, see chapter 5, a prophet like you, here's the note for that. Now God speaks of Moses as a prophet and promises a future prophet like him for Israel. In the first century AD, Jews expected a final prophet whom New Testament writers identified as Jesus, Acts 3, Acts 7, and John chapter 1. In other words, Moses is a prophet. In case you didn't think Moses was a prophet, there we have it, a prophet Moses, and there's going to be a greater prophet, and we know that is the Lord Jesus, as this study Bible has told us. Isn't it fascinating in the study Bible? We are not to listen to, Israel is not to listen to magicians or pagan means of revelation and guidance. Now, maybe we think of Ramtha and channeling, but you should probably be thinking about Jesus calling Sarah Young. You should probably be thinking about listening to your gizzard and your liver as it quivers, and mystical signs and blunders and wonders. Signs and wonders or the Word of God. I mean, we have the canon. Is the canon complete? Do you believe in the sufficiency of Scripture? What about sola scriptura? Well, back to Psalm verse 1 of chapter 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So we have this great passage that talks about how God is eternal and everlasting. You return man to the dust. See how different it is for us as men and women. And say, return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night, or a thief in the night. The time has come and you've been left behind. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream. You know, that's pretty fast. Like grass that is renewed in the morning it flourishes and is renewed, and in the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger, by your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. I almost started singing the song. Whoever considers the power of your anger, who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So, what's the response? What's the so what if we were a preacher? If there was a prophet preaching, what would we respond with? How should we respond? And there is a prophet preaching, and we have the Spirit of God using Moses. And since God is eternal and we are very frail, here today, gone tomorrow type of thing, what should we do? Verse 12. So teach us. We need to learn this lesson from God. We won't teach ourselves, left to ourselves. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. That's fascinating. Now, we count birthdays, and there's nothing wrong with counting birthdays. I think it's the Chinese or another culture in the East that celebrates birthdays based on you got 9 months in the womb, and then 3 months later you would have been a year old. And that's probably a good way to go about it. But however you count years, annual birthdays, you should probably be numbering your days. And of course, when you get the phone call that you're sick or your loved one's sick, or for me, even though it's prostate cancer, and it's not that big of a deal compared to other cancers in terms of survival rates, since they caught mine early and it didn't go outside of the prostate, things were looking good. But when you hear those words, I'm sorry to tell you, Mr. Abendroth, you have cancer. 6 out of the 12 biopsies revealed Gleason 6, 7, etc. And then you start thinking, you know what? I'm 57 years old. The time that I found out, I was 56. 57 years old, and you're thinking, you know what? I have more life behind me than I have in front of me. I've been at the church here, Bethlehem Bible Church, bbcchurch.org, for almost 21 years. Will I have another 21 years? I hope I have another 21 years of ministry. I don't know what the future brings, right? We're not sure, North Korea, nuclear bombs, etc. So teach us to number our days. That's a heart of wisdom. Return, O Yahweh, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. And then Psalm 90, the Psalm of Moses, ends. Let the favor of the Lord, the beauty of the Lord, our God, be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. We might be fleeting, but Lord, establish the works that we do. What a great psalm. What a great encouragement when it comes to being reminded that God is everlasting and God is in control. And in the meantime, we can honor him on this earth. Obviously, you know the news by now, especially if this is playing next week, but today is December 15th. On December 14th, yesterday, R.C. Sproul went home to be with the Lord. He died. And you think, okay, what's going to happen? Has there been a teacher like R.C. when it comes to explaining difficult doctrines well and simply? A champion for the Reformed faith, influencing many people, even Arminians, loving R.C. Sproul as he talks about the holiness of God. Influence at Ligonier and the university there. Tape ministry, conferences, chalkboards. I knew I had to finish my life, or I was able to finish my life when I saw R.C. live write a Latin word on a chalkboard. That was a good day. Anyway, this is a psalm that addresses this situation. We are feeble and frail. And I believe he was 78 when he died, R.C. And what will happen to the Lord's church? I'm not discounting what R.C. has said or done at all. But I am going to say, just like when James Montgomery Boyce died, I want to say 10 years ago, maybe that was 16 years ago, I don't know, 2001 is what pops into my mind, I could be wrong. But he died quite a while ago, and here we had another stalwart of the faith, the Reformed faith especially. What's going to happen to evangelicalism without James Boyce? What will happen to evangelicalism without R.C. Sproul? What will happen to evangelicalism with, name somebody that died 100 years ago, or 200 years ago, or 300 years ago, without Luther, without Calvin, without Zwingli? Think of missionaries, without Carey, without Judson, without Peyton. What will God do? He continues to save people and gift them and call them into ministry and gives them fruit, gives them the ability to preach and to teach, and there will be others raised up. And there are already those there in Stanford, Florida, at St. Andrews, that can do that very thing, preach and teach, and it is definitely the work of God. At this time of year, I would just encourage you to remember, today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This could be the last day. I mean, yeah, I know we all know that. I know it's a theological verity. But there's something to be said for when you're sick or when someone else around you dies. What are you going to do? Well, we should be thinking lots of things. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry of R.C. Sproul. Lord, please help Vesta and the family as they mourn the loss of husband, dad, friend. We should also be thinking, you know what? I better count today. Today. Teach us to number our days. And then what's going to happen if you end up counting your days? Then you'll say to yourself, you know, that dumb thing I'm mad at my spouse about, that minor issue that I'm perturbed about with that other person at church, the issues that I have with the people at work, what am I doing? Really, they're that big of a deal? Now, I know sometimes people can really sin grievously against other people. I don't want to minimize that. But I do want to maximize this could be your last day. You should live like this is the last day of your life. It's true. And you know it. Why then are we going to run around and act like we're the center of the universe? And if you have offended me, boy, there's going to be payment had, pound of flesh. God's the one from everlasting to everlasting. I mean, we just come and go. So while we're on earth, why don't we make it great? Why don't you be the one who forgives? Why don't you be the one that takes the first step? Why don't you be the one who, quote unquote, gives in first and shows mercy? Why don't you be the one that says, I'm not going to bring that sin up anymore and hold that sin over my spouse or child or parent or whatever, whomever. Why don't you be the one? You think that would honor the Lord? You think that would be dishonoring to the Lord? You know the answer. What's going to satisfy us today? Because today might be the last day. It says in verse 14 of Psalm 90, "Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." Remember, this is the wilderness psalm that Moses writes. And 2 million people in the span of 40 years are going to die in the wilderness. And I want to say it's 137 a day. It might be 173. I'm not exactly sure. People dying every day to make the point clear. Can you imagine if you were in charge of 100 and let's just round it. Some maybe it's either rounding down, rounding up, whatever the correct number is. I guess I could find out, can't I? I have a calculator on my phone. Did you know that? So 2 million, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. That's 2 million divided by 40 divided by, what do we have to do, 360? Is that the right number? I know 365 is for the year, but, you know, those years. Okay, so 137. This says 138.8, whatever the, let's just say 140. 140 funerals a day. That means some days there were fewer, some days there were more. Maybe some days, what if 1,000 people died on a certain day? That'd be weird. And as you're getting closer to the promised land, that is in time, as the 40 years is wrapping up, what if there were still, you know, 600,000 people around? You're like, those are guys, they're all going to die really soon. For 1,000 years in your sight, God, are as but yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. Good things to think about. Psalm 90, life, death, eternity. And for you who are listening, maybe there are some of you listening who aren't right with God, who still have God as an enemy. And you say, I'm not mad at God. Well, if you're not a Christian, then he's your enemy. He's angry at you, wrathful at you. The wrath of God abides on you already, John chapter 3. So how are you going to stand before such a God? There's no comparison from this everlasting God to you, the person who is like grass that flourishes in the morning and at night it fades and withers. You are the one that has sinned against God. He has never sinned against you. And you are the one of whom God knows all your sins against him, against other people. So you need to be reconciled to God. And the only means of reconciliation is the Lord Jesus. And can you imagine? He added human nature. The Son of God added human nature. The incarnation, we celebrate Christmas time, don't we? And he was the one that lived on earth with condescension and with humility. Truly man, truly God. This is the time to be reconciled to God. So repent, change your mind, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you would like some more information about anything we've talked about today, I suggest that you write info@nocompromiseradio.com. There are some books available on Amazon. Just type in Mike Abendroth. Or if you want to go to the website for sexual fidelity or things that go bump the church, those have to be ordered through the NoCo website. And we'll try to give you a good deal. If you write down NoCo special when you order them, then we'll send you two sexual fidelity. We'll send you things to go bump in the church for free. So just say NoCo special, order two. And even if you don't write it down, I'll just send it anyway. So that's that. That's that Psalm 90. I was going to do Restology Part 3, but we never made it. We just were talking about coffee and plungers and New Zealand. I'm hoping to go back to New Zealand. It reminded me of California a lot and the cool surf culture and then a lot of men and women who wanted to know the Bible. So I was glad for that. If you want to follow us at Twitter, it's @NoCoRadio, @NoCoRadio. And then you can go to Facebook, No Compromise Radio. We don't really talk back and forth on there. If you want to argue with me, I suggest you send me an email because Social media for NoCo Radio is basically one-way communication. We throw it out. You can either read it or you can pass. And that's the way it works. Maybe next time we'll talk about critical trends for churches in 2018, or sip it, don't dip it, and you'll have to tune in again to find out what each of those means. Mike Abendroth, No Compromise
Radio. No Compromise Radio with Pastor Mike Abendroth is a production of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. Bethlehem Bible Church is a Bible-teaching church firmly committed to unleashing the life-transforming power of God's Word through verse-by-verse exposition of the sacred text. Please come and join us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10:15 and in the evening at 6. We're right on Route 110 in West Boylston. You can check us out online at bbccchurch.org or by phone at 508-835-3400.